Okay, so today we're speaking with Dr. Paul, and I'm really, really honored to have you on the call today. And one of the things I'm really excited about is to be able to look at some of the inner game issues and some of the kind of deeply held beliefs that older guys have and how to transform them. And it's really an honor to have you on the call. So,
Well, thank you.
So, you know, I think for the listeners, I think a really good starting point is about your background and your history and working with guys. I don't know if you call yourself a dating coach or, you know, basically in the seduction community, helping guys succeed.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't really use the word coach at all, associate that with that at all, because I'm an MD, board certified psychiatrist and psychoanalytic theorist. So I basically spent my whole adult life in school and in training, seeing many, many thousands of actual medical patients and psychiatric patients. So I'm a professional, not a coach. Anybody can hang up a shingle and be a coach and do a weekend seminar at being one. So it's kind of a different journey that I've had than most. A lot of the men out there who are teaching other men are expert marketers, first and foremost, not at all scientists. And it's a good and interesting thing to, you know, read widely and learn from, you know, various diverse sources. And it's a great thing to get mentoring from a man who's experienced at dating and relationships, perhaps. But ultimately, the opinions that you're going to get are just opinions from one man's personal life's experience, as opposed to something grounded in science. So that's probably primarily where I come from, theoretically, and as far as, you know, systems for men. They aren't based in my personal opinions, although I may have stories from my personal life's experience. They're very, very rooted in the latest in scientific findings and theory.
Well, that's great. I'm really glad you're contributing that. So from that standpoint, then, do you view this as a problem? I mean, do guys come to you with saying, hey, Paul, I'm 45, I want to date 25-year-old women, I don't know what I'm doing? I mean, or what is kind of the bulk of the men that you work with? What are they looking
for? Yeah, as far as the men's community, as it's called, you know, it's a tiny subculture when you look at, you know, all of mainstream society. And I'm more of a translator between the men's community and mainstream society than I am deeply rooted as a, quote, guru or marketer or Mac Daddy who has a lot of tactics and tricks to show you. So I'm a bridge between the two. And I encountered, you know, this movement really through somebody a lot of people know, David Dee. And I don't like the term seduction community. To me, that word implies trickery, adolescent thinking, immaturity, and really something to be ashamed of, not proud of. I do think there's a much bigger movement than just learning to date going on. There are major cultural changes going on in Western society these days, and it has a lot to do with the pendulum just swinging from empowering men for many centuries to feminism and now back to, hey, what about us as men?
Right.
So I think the men's community is just a symptom of something much, much bigger going on in our culture. As far as the types of guys that I see, being a psychiatrist, you know, I'm trained to very analytically and in detail treat anybody from age 15 to 90 to death. So I've seen all types and all ages and all manner of dating problem or relationship problem, both with professional eyes, but also just with the eyes of a young guy who is single himself. Still relatively young. As a result, the two reasons that men tend to come to me. Oftentimes, they will come to me having encountered my name somewhere in the men's community itself, assisting other, you know, teachers, if you will, who are expert marketers at science that they just plain aren't trained to know how to operate. So I'm a kind of engineer. Developing new models for myself and for men in general. So they'll come to me and they'll say, you know, I tried so-and-so's method or so-and-so's tactics, and, you know, it was kind of fun, and I liked bonding with other students at a seminar, or I liked this one product that I used. But it just, it kind of sort of worked in certain ways and certain places at certain times with certain types of women, but it doesn't work in many situations, and I don't know why. So what school of dating should I subscribe to?
Right.
And so I have to sort of take them and kind of, you know, I'll use the same lingo that the men's community uses just because everybody's using that, but I'll also let them know what in normal person language all of these things mean, like when people talk about false time constraints and peacocking and, you know, step one, step two, and all these various lingo buzzwords that are used by the marketers for the purpose of selling products. I'll just translate it to normal person language for them too, and then explain what really is going on scientifically. I mean, literally, the only perfect, quote, method that a man could use, regardless of his age or what type of woman he wants to be with or date, it's got to be really his own method. So there's a lot of talk in the men's community about really some terms that I personally have introduced because they're the last thing that that a lot of the marketers would think of, things like character or courtship. Nobody would ever be mentioning. Those are such academic terms and lofty or even girly kind of terms. You never would have heard of those before me, but they are crucial. And so what I'll do is I'll take and rework what a guy has already learned from some other guru and really plug it into my system, which really is a synthesis of all the former schools of psychology and is very science grounded. So it's not based in my personal opinion. It's based in all of the research I've ever encountered where I've thrown out what just isn't true and can't possibly make sense psychologically versus what makes a lot of sense and applies to all men and all women everywhere in any culture.
So are you talking more about like reworking self-esteem issues, or are you talking about how does a man, what is attractive to a woman, or both? How do those kind of work together?
Well, it's a big topic to look at when you look at lingo. Things like inner game and outer game, these aren't real. These are artificial terminologies that don't really apply scientifically to what's really going on. They're just a means of developing a type of product line. So there can be an inner game line of products and an outer game line of products and body language products. It all works in sync with each other. So when we talk about inner game, it's just an artificial term to say a guy's internal state of psychology and emotion and decision-making and thought, what psychoanalysts would call the psyche, and outer game really is more just what one does with his body language and is more tactical. I think it's more useful to describe to people what you'd call strategy versus tactics in accomplishing a goal, such as getting with the right woman. A strategy is sort of the bird's eye view, big picture of what are the psychological processes that go on in a man and in a woman and what gets them together, generally speaking. Tactics are numerous and can be as unique as every individual man. Tactics are, what do I actually physically and verbally do and say to implement the strategies? That's the difference. And I think that's a more useful way of describing what's happening than saying, oh, there's inner game and that's different from outer game. Because your inner game influences your outer game influences your inner game, and they're all mishmashed together in reality. So that's one type of guy that comes to me, is someone who discovers, oh my gosh, I've learned this other man's, quote, method, and I found that, well, that obviously worked for him, but it doesn't quite suit me. I need my own individual way of doing things, and that's correct. So there's a lot of talk in the men's community, too, about what they call being authentic, or even something lifted directly from me, because it couldn't have come from anywhere else, character-driven game. All that means is we need to be authentic and our real selves while simultaneously working on having better skill with the tools we naturally bring to bear. So I will work with those guys to sort of set them straight and get them more authentic as individual men. And ultimately, what many people have worried about in the men's community is if it goes mainstream and people are appearing on Dr. Phil and things like that, and people read all the books that come out, everybody's going to know the tactics, and so women are going to see me coming from a mile away. Well, right. None of that really matters when guys use my system, because it's science and it's individualized. So ultimately, every guy that comes to train with me develops his own personal method that only works for him, that nobody else could ever imitate, and it's really being himself too. So there are no worries about being copycatted in method, because it's yours. The second kind of guy tends to be a little bit of an older guy, and this just has, over 30. A guy maybe 28 and beyond is the other type of guy that tends to come to me. And that's just because of, my style and sensibilities tend to be not like fresh out of college. I only want to get laid or have a one-night stand kind of mentality. I'm more about helping men learn to be more sophisticated, mature, with a rich dating life that probably is more geared toward having a lot of quality women in your life rather than just having a one-night stand at any cost, or being more of a like a fraternity boy mindset. So I'll get guys, 28 and above a lot too. Although I'll get younger guys too that are just more into finding what absolutely works every time rather than just some other man's system for himself. Those are the two types.
But when you look at because our product is geared at older guys, 40 and above or whatever, when you look at guys who are in their 40s, what are the set of symptoms or issues that you think that they face, and some of the common patterns or mistakes that you see them making?
Well, sure. This is one of the things that only science can fix. And when I use the word science, what I'm meaning is something really based in very formal education and training at mental health fields or behavioral health fields, and philosophy as well, social sciences. What's going on is there are too many variables to account for. So there can't be any hard and fast rule that a man over 40 needs to wait 3 days before returning a call to a woman, because there are too many variables to account for. Depends on what kind of woman is it, what's her personality style, what's her maturity level, and what's the 40-year-old man's personality style and maturity level, and what culture do they live in. So what's going on for men 40 and above are there are a lot of personal factors, and there are a lot of cultural forces at play that can have a tendency to stigmatize him in a way that didn't really happen in the past, and perhaps even happened to older women in the past and don't today. You can look at cultural phenomena like Sex and the City, the popularity of that TV show and movie empowering women, and in some ways can be interpreted as disempowering men, especially men 40 and above, for the reason that to the female mindset, it might make sense for men to have to date women their own age. The sort of unwritten cultural protocol or rule that says marrying or dating or having sex with a woman a certain number of years younger, there's like a limit where it's considered strange or wrong or unethical. So the number one problem I think that men 40 and above have is they buy into local, recent, fad-style cultural rules about what's okay versus what's not okay in dating, and then feel a sense of shame or guilt if they do what comes natural.
Right.
One of the reason for this, one of the principles that I teach in the live seminars is that we tend to attract those to us who are of very similar maturity level, regardless of age, and that human beings have a different psychological age on the inside than their chronological age on the outside. In other words, everybody has had a boss who might be 50 but can't behave older than 18,
right,
or an uncle or aunt who is 40 but acts like they're 17. It doesn't matter what their chronological age is. What matters psychologically and in terms of attraction and dating, it matters how old are they on the inside. So it could be just as ethically wrongful for, let's say, a 28-year-old to date a 28-year-old woman who on the inside is only as mature, really, as a 13-year-old woman would be. It's legal, but that's kind of unethical in a way because she's so immature and mismatched to him. The younger or more immature a woman is, the more impressionable she is. And that's where the unethical wrongfulness comes in, not the chronological age. So there's a stigma about age. That's what men 40 and above need to get over. What matters is not your age on the outside. What matters is your and the woman's age or maturity level on the inside.
I can see it, but don't you also see those guys, I mean, they've certainly come to work with me, who seem to have a lot of social phobia and a lot of social awkwardness, and in particular that shows up around women, and the younger and the hotter, the more intense that anxiety is.
Yeah, definitely, and that's something that needs to be separated out from this cultural stigma that I'm talking about. When a guy officially has a social phobia, he'll tend to actually get anxiety symptoms that are way above and beyond what the average man will experience in approaching an attractive woman. He might even get panic attacks and chest palpitations and heavy breathing and sweating and shakiness in the fingers. I do get quite a bit of those guys coming to me because that's an actual medical situation. But underneath that, as you know well, men have, for millions of years, had a reflex evolutionarily built into us, no matter how confident we are or sophisticated or mature or experienced, all men have at least a twinge, the men's community calls approach anxiety.
Right.
And that has evolved over millions of years because if you were to look at ancient sort of tribal living among men and women, or even compared to gorilla populations, there would be one alpha male, at least for the week or the day or the month, who dominates the whole society, and he mates with 80% of the females, leaving the bottom 20% of the females for the whole rest of the male populace.
Wow.
So what evolved in males, male primates, whether gorilla or man, an instinct to be life-preserving for himself, to be very careful and anxious and tentative about first approaching any woman, because what if she belongs, so to speak, to the alpha male? He could be killed.
Hmm.
So it was a survival mechanism that actually evolved this approach anxiety problem. So when women sort of look at men and say, well, what's their problem? Aren't they confident enough? Why are they afraid of approaching us? What's the matter with that guy? Is he an unconfident, low self-esteem guy? No, not necessarily. He might be very confident, but also just very masculine and tuned into his natural masculine reflexes, which also include approach anxiety. And that's a different thing from social anxiety disorder. Those need to be separated. One's normal, one is not.
So if you're listening to this call, though, how do you know if you're a guy who feels fear around approaching women? Or, you know, I'll even ask guys, you know, what comes up even when you think about approaching a woman and they get scared, you know? What's, quote, normal and what's off the range?
Well, if you want an absolute without having to visit a psychiatrist, it's physical symptoms. You know, if a very confident guy gets a little twinge of anxiety and he's looking at a beautiful woman wanting to approach her, he can get over that with standard behavioral therapy techniques, which I've really simplified in my programs. But what's important at knowing the difference between that and an actual medical disorder like social anxiety disorder or social phobia is physical symptoms in the latter. So actually sweating, actually physically shaking, feeling heart palpitations or heavy breathing, these are all physical things. And that's what lets you know something might be medical grade as opposed to just normal male instinct in approach anxiety.
Right.
And of course, part of what helps men get over that are things like, you know, the buzzword is the 3-second rule, that as soon as you see a woman, you got 3 seconds to just go and ignore the feelings. What that really translates to in psychology terms, in behavioral therapy and in my models, is ultimately courage. Behavioral therapy is just training people to do courageous acts. And courage is the key for anxiety that is not medical grade. It's doing the thing no matter how bad it feels or no matter how uncertain you are. And you'll find that you don't die. And if you can't die from doing an action, you win no matter what. You win a type of emotional energy called confidence. So you mentioned earlier in the program self-esteem, and you know what, inner game has something to do with self-esteem, and how do you raise a guy's self-esteem? What the men's community doesn't really realize about me is that even in my home academic field, I'm an innovator. So I've developed models that wouldn't even be familiar to my own professional colleagues that involve a synthesis of all former psychology theories into one model, and it's the only visual diagrammatic system that does so. And I use a lot of mathematics and a lot of equations to explain things. So literally the first time anybody anywhere in any source, in any media, even in any academic center has ever heard of this, self-esteem actually has a definition. It actually has a mathematical formula that explains it, whereas in all times past, it was just this vague stuff. Like, how do you raise your self-esteem? Do you go get a massage? Do you go get a haircut? Do you lift weights like Charles Atlas 40 years ago was selling products for? Well, no, there's an exact formula. Self-esteem happens to be two types of energy, and we need them in equal amounts. It's well-being plus confidence. Well-being would be a motherly, nurturing kind of emotion, a sense of having enough money, enough friends, enough creativity, enough free time, enough rest, enough health. Having enough is well-being. And confidence is an energy that you might say is sort of fatherly. It's an emotional sense that I can handle what comes. I can tolerate any risk, change, or potential loss that comes my way. If you lack one or the other of these two types of emotional energy, then you do not have a complete self-esteem and you are not happy. And you also make a terrible friend. I know some other methods out there talk about different steps of seduction and steps of dating phases. And one of the common buzzwords used in the men's community is the comfort phase.
Right.
Okay. Well, I think it's an inaccurate term. I use the more layman's term, a scientifically grounded term, friendship. When we are friends with somebody, and ultimately if a woman does not sense friendship from you, then you are just potentially a seducer or player, not a potential date, not a potential man in her life. There must be a friendship aspect. Others call that comfort, but that's kind of narrow and silly because it implies just leading to a one-night stand or to a seduction. I'm talking about something richer than that. Friendship is shared positive emotion. It's raising the self-esteem of someone else while having your self-esteem raised in the process. And that transaction literally is the scientific description of what love would be. And love is different from desire or passion. Love is a feature of friendship. So even within your dating, you need to be friends with a woman, and that is love. So regardless of a man's age, if he's 40 wanting to date a 25-year-old, or if he's 25 wanting to date a 25-year-old, there must be a means of striking up a friendship vibe with a woman. If that's not there, then the age difference under the influence of our cultural, you know, rules is going to really, in an overblown way, make that 40-year-old look like a, what do they say, dirty old man kind of thing.
Right, right.
There's got to be a friendship aspect. So a big key and distinction, I think, for your particular issue you want to look at, which is older men, younger women, would really center on quality of friendship. How does an older man, chronologically older, befriend, truly befriend a younger woman? Any man can learn quick tactics to be seductive and be a Mac Daddy, but he's not going to be successful if there's not a friendship aspect.
Do you think that that's one of the big mistakes that guys make, is they just rush the sex as an older guy? Or?
Pardon me?
I mean, do you think that's one of the key mistakes that older guys make when they're trying to approach or have sex or date a younger woman, is that they drive the sex so fast and hard that they blow their chances? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, two factors. The first factor, I told you, I think, is, you know, the most significant problem men 40 and have, which is they buy into a stigma that age matters. But the second aspect is, you know, an over concentration on learning to be seductive or to be actually attractive, utterly leaving out deep understanding of the psychology of women. If you look to back to the difference between, you know, what a coach or dating guru versus what is a scientist or behavioral health professional, a dating guru, who's most of the time going to be a male, can really speak authoritatively to personal experience as a male. So when he teaches other guys, he's going to say, you know what I'm talking about when I say, you know, I really love when a woman is like this or like that. But women are, in many ways, way more complex than men psychologically in terms of how sexual attraction occurs. And this is in part because of evolutionary psychology. Because men have billions of sperm over a lifetime, and women only have between 200 and 300 total viable eggs, there are different reproductive strategies that come out of that. For men, we use, pardon the pun, the shotgun approach. So we are sexually attracted to many, many different women over the lifetime. Even if we are committed to only one, we would be dishonest to not admit that we are sexually attracted to many. But women have a reproductive strategy that is not a shotgun approach. It's highly selective. And it's based on both your ability to be sexually attractive. That's sure, that's a requirement. But it's also simultaneously on your based on your ability to indicate friendship potential and commitment potential. And those are features of character. Now, the problem arises for marketers searching for material to just lift and sell, repackage and rebrand, because even in my academic field, there's no technology of character growth. The closest thing to it is called positive psychology. But even positive psychology just is a list of traits that people consider virtuous, things like courage, wisdom, strength. There's no system to it that literally shows men how to grow these traits. We have that system. So women need your sexual tactics to know that you're sexually interested and sexually savvy, but they also need to have indications that you could be a good friend and be of high character. The high character tells the woman that you are the type of guy whom, if she were to get pregnant, you would stay around, and that sex will be special, not cheap, that it will be meaningful and lasting and bonding as opposed to just cheap and a one-night stand. So without friendship and character, which actually are strengths of a man 40 and above, because he's had a lot of life experience and chance to grow character, this also can make him more attractive to the younger woman, where her peers who are in their early 20s might just be up for one-night stands, not know what they want to do with their lives, don't have much life experience, and haven't had much of a chance to grow a rich and refined character. So there are strengths and weaknesses to older man, younger woman pairing. And they're, you know, things equal out.
So is there a particular, like, when you're coaching a guy or when you're working with a guy in your seminars, what do you recommend he do in terms of an approach?
Well, however you approach women, there are going to be foundational strategies that have nothing to do with your age or culture of origin that must occur, or sexual attraction just doesn't happen. And I lay those out in my programs at drpaul.net. That's drpaul.net. But specifically an older man, a man 40 and above, how is he going to approach a younger woman? He will want to do so in a way that is, let's say, age appropriate for him. So it's not going to serve him well to wear absolutely crazy Hawaiian shirts and platform boots with blinking lights on them. That will make him look strange and maybe very uncomfortable for him and not suit his personality and sophistication. But he may want to wear one unique item of clothing that's not completely bizarre, but does stand out. A lot of people in the men's community would lead one to believe that it's possible to approach any woman anytime and be successful. Well, it's possible to approach any woman anytime and successfully get her attention and maybe even get brief sexual attraction. But I think most guys want the ability to hold and maintain a sexual attraction. And to do that, women really do start things off. They have to give us what sociologists call submission signals. If they haven't given off signals of interest, then it is not on. It's not okay to approach. And so the man, regardless of his age, has to do something that is going to trigger the woman to have a curiosity about him. So the answer to your question, how does a 40-plus man trigger curiosity in a 25-year-old woman in a way that will get her to send him signals she'd like to know more about him? Might use some of the same techniques, approaching them over the shoulder from the side, not quickly exposing your self-esteem. You might wear one interesting article of clothing. You might have a lot of friends and know a lot of people, and she notices this about you. You might be indirect in your approach, certainly. So not walking right up and saying, hey, you're hot, I know you want me, but rather start a conversation that's stimulating and sophisticated. These would be general best approaches to men 40 and above.
What do you recommend guys do once they're actually dating the younger woman? I mean, is there particular challenges that come up with younger women? I think there are, but do you get that far in your work with men about how to handle relationships once you have the woman?
Well, yeah, and one thing that dovetails with that that also is very, very important in the 40-plus man's approach is yet again something nobody in the men's community knows about because they aren't behavioral scientists. Women's sense of femininity and identity and passion for life is very rooted in her sense of acceptance among groups of women. Now, anybody could observe this and say, yeah, girls have girlfriends and they like to be in their girlfriend's good favor. But the reason and depth of the importance of this has been missed by the men's community. It goes all the way back again to hunter-gatherer tribal and evolution in the sense that in ancient times, men would be out in the woods hunting and killing things and extending territory, oftentimes in isolation from each other. Women would be gathered together back at the village. And if they did not develop a very sophisticated social savvy at reading each other's emotions and being bonded to each other and accepted by the group of women, their lives were literally in danger. A tiger could wander into the village and snatch her away. Children could die if there wasn't a lot of communication and talk between the women. So today we have a sophisticated society that's not ancient hunter-gatherer style and sophisticated communication, but we still retain these ancient gender instincts and reflexes, as I call them. And one of the core prime ones women have is the need to belong and be considered normal and accepted. So one of the biggest challenges then, both in approach and in just in general dating younger women, is once again, the social stigma of an age difference, is it considered by the woman and by her peer group to be abnormal, to date an older guy, or can it be normal if the guy is really a rich personality that has something to bring to the table? This will center a lot on how mature is the woman, how mature is her peer group. You could have a very beautiful woman with very beautiful friends who, regardless of their age, are very immature. And the less mature a woman is, the more driven by instinct she is, the less an individual she is. And so you can be blocked from the get-go simply by the maturity level of a woman and or her peer group. Even if she's mature and her peer group is very immature, that may still rule the day, that if you don't win over her friends, and you may not be capable of that purely by their maturity level, and yours is high and theirs is low. You can't win that situation, nor ought you, because why would you want to date a very immature woman? This leads to what you would call a high-maintenance woman, often to codependent relationships. And so the second giant challenge and mistake that men make when they're older wanting to date younger women is they may only be valuing the woman's physical beauty. If that's all they value, there's a very large chance that they're going to have a significant drain of their resources, their time, their energy, and even their money in pursuing beautiful women who carry with them a very immature state of character. And therefore, never feel quite like the man makes them look good to their friends. They value their friends far more than they could ever value an individual man when they're immature and when they're young, generally.
Is there anything else that you advise guys to do who are older, who are wanting to meet women? I mean, there's sort of this background of philosophy and of understanding women. But how do you encourage them to take action to kind of go for what they want?
Well, I encourage them not just to take action, not just to get over their approach anxiety and get out there, but also to be very selective themselves and to ignore beauty as the only criterion for whether you want a woman. Because if beauty is all that matters, then you're going to do a lot of failing. And you're going to, once again, lose a lot of resources doing that. You have to care about how mature is the woman, regardless of age or beauty, and how mature is her peer group, too, because it's going to have a very significant influence on her. So if you're a 40-year-old construction worker and she is a 25-year-old grad student or law student, there can be a fair chance that her peer group is very used to being around older men, older mentors, and is more sophisticated themselves, maybe of higher character in general, and there's a much higher chance of success with that kind of woman, even if you don't understand at all what her career is all about, and you're more of a blue-collar worker. That's a better match than you being a banker and dating a 25-year-old model.
Right, that makes sense.
Who has no real career or actress, unless she's highly intelligent and of high character and only associates with other women who are mature and intelligent and of high character. So things may not be as they seem on the surface. In other words, don't look beyond beauty. Look beyond beauty.
So when you're working with guys, so you lay down this foundation, and then what's the next step that you work with them to do, like in your seminars or in your coaching programs?
Well, regardless of their age, there's both strategy and tactics to learn, and then they need to be tailored in an age-appropriate way to that guy. So I have a whole host of both products that basically mimic the exact kind of advice I would give anyway, because it's all based in these scientific systems and processes. And then I have services as well, like teleseminars, in-person consultation, phone consultation, and then boot camp seminars. So we'll meet for 3 days. The highest level service is meeting for 3 days, during the day having an educational seminar where I will use film examples and pictures and diagrams and exercises with each other to be able to see how to behave, how to use body language, how to approach, how to get sexual action started, regardless of age. And then in the evening, we will go out and use a lot of the tactics that we've also learned and help the men discover their own personal tactics that nobody else knows about and nobody else can imitate.
That's awesome. And as you said, a bunch of older guys often come and they get a lot out of these courses as well.
Yeah, it doesn't matter the age. In fact, most of my seminars have a broad swath of age and culture. I'll have guys fly in from Russia and Japan and Australia, and some just drive in from Chicago suburbs, and they all mingle together. And you end up with an age range from 22 to 60, where a kind of bonding goes on between them that's really unique and shows that men need each other for brotherhood and mentorship regardless of age, that there's something to gain from the younger guys' youthful perspective to the older guys, and there's something of experience to be gained from the perspective of the older guys on the younger guys.
So do you have any other closing comments? I know we're going to wrap up in a second.
Yes. There are some of the questions that that you have asked, let's review, what's unique about being an older guy dating a younger woman. Friendship is of the essence. It can't just be about sexual attraction tactics. There's got to be a way to form a friendship with a woman. And if you look at what friendship is, literally, scientifically, it's just mutual positive emotion. It's raising someone else's self-esteem. Simplistic form, you could say it's the ability to make them happy. So having a well-developed sense of humor is a very important thing for an older guy in relating to a younger woman. The age range and the cultural stigma just expand the distance between an older man and a younger woman if the man is humorless. So humor becomes far more important than it ever was when you were 25. Because you need to be able to form a friendship with a woman where she is happy because of your presence. Anything that can make you unique sets you apart from all the other wannabe alpha male gorillas out there. So competition versus younger men is important too. And you have some weaknesses in the cultural stigma and in the maturity level of her and her friends, but you also have some strengths in life's experience. So your ability to be a speaker, to express yourself, to tell stories of your unique and broad life's experience is automatically going to set you apart from younger men who just haven't had the time to travel the world or see what you've seen and experience what you've experienced. That aspect is going to be a very mysterious and curious thing to a younger woman. So the one thing I haven't covered, the very first step strategically in alluring any woman of any age is that the man must be mysterious. This plays on what's called the female Oedipal period of life. It's the most primal core sexual attractor for women, regardless of your age or her age. It's mysteriousness, curiosity on her part towards you. And the reason for that is her very first encounter of masculinity is in her dad. And the prime feature of the female Oedipal period of life is that she comes to view daddy as a mysterious figure who's powerful. And so for the whole rest of her life, whatever pattern of communicating and loving and connecting with her dad she developed between age 3 and 6, she is going to unconsciously apply to every man she ever meets that she's ever going to fall in love with or be sexually attracted to. And the core of that is how mysterious you are. So the individual tactics of the men's community, like peacocking, false time constraints, social proof, all of these things that are just lifted out of various resources are just
like the Citadini book,
they're the tip of the iceberg of what tactics are available to you to uniquely make your own and nobody else's. But what meets all of them is that they inspire questions in the woman's mind about you that only you can answer. If you solve that riddle for yourself, it almost takes care of everything else. How can you, the 40-year-old man, be uniquely mysterious and a curiosity younger woman? Then the problem is solved for you.
That's great. And hopefully without lying. I mean, it seems like that's the other trend in the seduction community.
No, absolutely without lying.
Yeah.
Well, genuinely being a curiosity to her, authentically being a curiosity to her, and in a way that does not shame or embarrass her among her peer group. That means you've got to be age appropriate in dress and manner and courtesy and gentlemanliness, but sort of with an edge, with a dangerous edge or with a mysterious edge to you, then it'll all work out all right. Whether your way of being mysterious is through wearing a unique article of clothing, or maybe you have an accent that's incredibly alluring to women. It's so unique and different and mysterious. Don't put all your cards on the table. Don't say, oh, well, I'm 40 and I, I've traveled in these countries. I do this job. I've been married and divorced. Don't give her a resume. That kills the mystery right at the beginning. Stay mysterious. And frankly, on the matter of age itself, I've done a lot of thinking about this. And if there could be a perfect answer, inevitably, this is a must-do as far as this kind of talk. If we're talking about age differences, older men, younger women, inevitably a woman is going to actually ask your age. And that's both a test, and also she's hoping to get a sense of mystery from you around that. And a lot of guys I've known have either lied about their age, which is the wrong move, or they've just come right out and they've pre-planned this and said, if I'm ever asked my age by a young woman, I'm just confidently state it. Well, guess what? That's actually also the wrong answer.
Can you repeat that again? Because I know the...
Yeah, how do you handle it? How do you handle it when a woman asks what your age is? Do you lie? That's not good. Do you confidently state exactly what it is? Turns out that's not good either, because it instantly evaporates the mysteriousness of the initial interaction. The only right answer that I can find is that this is a test on her part to take the more power position in the relationship, and you need to retain the power and dominance and leadership. So the proper response is, oh, that's not a very attractive question.
And then what does she do?
Are you trying to be unattractive? Come on. And if she pushes it and pushes it and pushes it, see, this starts to reveal to you something about her maturity level. If she's impulsive and can't play the game, the mating game with you, and can't enjoy some sexual innuendo and repartee with you, then that tells you something about her, that she might not be appropriate for you. So the right woman for you, you can almost start to get a line on just by having this dilemma pop up for you, that she asks your age, and you say, that's not a very attractive question. And if she goes with that and says, oh, okay, all right, you're right, and then the conversation continues, she's got some sophistication and political skill to her. She's worth your ongoing investment. I'd say that's a good start. I could talk to you for literally for weeks.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, some really, really, really solid material, and I think this is going to be really helpful for the guys listening. So,
well, fantastic. If anybody wants to write me, if you want to write me more, I'm at drpaul.net, drpaul.net. You can write me at paul@drpaul.net. with questions, and you can also hear me on NBC5.com/BetterSex. I work for NBC as a podcaster on the show called The Fireman and the Shrink.
That's great.